All right. Thank you, Pastor Ray. Well, man, you guys have been such a blessing to us for a lot of years, and so I send greetings from my wife, Christy. We celebrated 20 years this year of marriage. Yeah, 20 years. And many don't know this, but we actually had an arranged marriage at age 7, so you can do the math to see how old we are. That's a terrible joke. About 5 years ago, God just put in my heart to write a book, and I kind of laughed. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't write a book. And so for a good 2 years, I did absolutely nothing, and then I just couldn't get away from it. And so the pandemic kind of afforded me a little opportunity to do that. And so I wrote a book called The Other Tent. It's not about camping. My uncle said, hey, you wrote a book about camping. That's great. It's actually a lot about my drug problem growing up. I had a massive drug problem. That was that I was drugged to church every week. I got some good jokes, man. Come on. These are terrible. My dad was a pastor. My dad was a missionary. I grew up in Latin America, so I went to church 18 times a week. And so I had to go. And I couldn't stand church, but my least favorite of all was the prayer meeting, the velada. And oh my goodness, velada is an all-night prayer meeting. And I just didn't get it. I couldn't stand it. As I mentioned, at age 18, I had an encounter with Jesus in a kitchen, completely changed my life. And probably the biggest thing that transformed for me was understanding prayer. Where prayer before was so boring and dull, now I couldn't believe that I could actually have intimacy with God, that I could talk to Him and He would talk to me. And so that's what this book is about. It's about intimacy with God. And so as you stampede out to go get food, I would encourage you to go out these doors and pick up a book. It's 10 bucks. You can get it on Amazon, but it's cheaper if you get it here. And we do cash, card, or 2.5 gallons of gas. If you want to do that, I'll take that. See, in Washington, it's 2 gallons of gas because it's more expensive there. So, hey. But yeah, pick that up, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you. And verse 8, I promise you this won't be longer than about 2.5 hours. So, just kidding. I know everyone's looking at the clock, and as the smells begin to come in, your patience will diminish. But I really do, I love this verse. We all probably know this verse. It's the theme verse for the book of Acts. It's a book, Pastor Ray mentioned this, about the concentric circles. Here you see that, Acts 1:8, a verse we know. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love that verse. That verse is the theme verse for the book of Acts. It's what you see happen in the rest of the book. But I want to ask you a question. What is the very first word in that verse? Because we usually don't quote it correctly. What's the first word? But. That is the first word. That is a weird way to begin a sentence. You usually don't start a sentence with the word but. But how are you today? You know, but my name is Ryan. How many of you remember conjunction, junction, what's your function? Come on, some of you just dated yourselves. Was that Schoolhouse Rock? Was that what that was? Yeah, I remember that. How many of you are ready for English grammar lesson? And you're not going to fall asleep on me. All right, the word but is a conjunction. And it's a word that connects two ideas. And so you can't understand Acts 1:8 without looking at what comes before it. You know, it's like saying, you know, I was, I can't think of an example right now. I was going to eat, you know, 3 pumpkin pies, but then I realized that would be a bad idea, so I didn't, okay? And so what comes after wipes out what comes before. So if you're going to understand Acts 1:8, you need to look at what comes before. And so if you back up to verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. It wasn't a suggestion, but a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my father, I just lost my place. Wait for the gift my father promised, which you've heard me speak about. Now this is interesting because Jesus has already spent over 3 years, more or less, with these disciples. He has died on the cross. He's risen again. He's already told them, he's given them the great commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, right? That's the great commission. And now he almost contradicts himself. And he says, don't go. And it was a command not to go. He says, don't go until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, do not even attempt to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit, because you will not be able to do it. And right here, we're going to see an example. He says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now verse 6, again, we usually skip over this, but verse 6 just cracks me up. He says, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? How many of you have ever asked a dumb question before? You don't have to raise your hand, but yeah, I definitely have. This, I've looked at commentaries on this. I've read it in the Greek. This is a dumb question. This is a really dumb question. You have to understand, the time of Jesus physically on the earth is coming to an end. In fact, in verse 9, right after he says, you know, go into all the world, you know, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, the end of the earth. Right after that, he ascends to the Father, where he is now, and he's coming back soon. And so Jesus is finishing. The whole responsibility of taking the gospel is on these guys. If they fail, you and I are not here, okay? This is a big deal. And in this moment is when these guys, and I personally imagine, this is my opinion, I imagine it was Peter that asked this. I love Peter. He gives me a lot of hope, all right? He was putting his foot in his mouth a lot. And so they ask this question. Now, let me tell you what this is like. Let's just do a hypothetical. Let's pretend that the church decides to bless Pastor Ray and Giselle and say, hey, we're going to send you to the Bahamas for 2 weeks just to bless you. I feel like this is a prophetic word. And so you're going to go there. You're just going to rest. You're going to relax. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. And so they put different leaders in charge. Okay, you know, Johnny Boy, I'm using imaginary names, so no one's offended here. John Boy, you're going to preach on this Sunday. And, you know, Rita Joe, I was just in Louisiana, so I got Southern names in my head. Rita Joe, you're going to preach the next Sunday. And everything is set up. And imagine you're taking them to the airport, to Albany Airport. They're going to head out for relaxation and rest. And on the way, Johnny Boy says, now, just a quick question, Pastor. What are you preaching on next Sunday? Now, Pastor Ray would be like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to be here. Yeah, but then who's preaching the following Sunday? Like, you idiot. No. Like, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say that. That's basically what the disciples are doing here. Jesus is about to leave. The whole responsibility of the Great Commission is on these guys. And in this moment, they display such ignorance. They give me so much hope, honestly. I mean, if you think for a second that these guys were just raring to go and ready to go take the world for Jesus, that is not the case. They were scared out of their minds. That's why Jesus had to walk through walls and lock doors to get to where they were. They were confused. Again, if you can do this study, I love this study. Almost every single time that Jesus predicts his death, it's amazing how clearly he told his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of sinners. He's going to be crucified. On the third day, he'll rise again. Immediately after, you can look this up in the Gospels, they are arguing about who of them is the greatest. Like, they didn't get it at all. And so here is this wonderful display of ignorance. They're basically saying, now, Jesus, are you now going to take over? I mean, you're a resurrected dead guy. How about you kick out the Romans? We reestablish Israel. I got dibs on being the governor of Judea. You know, that's their mindset. Now, if I were Jesus, I would have been like, Father, give me like 10 more years at least with these guys. Or are there alternates to them? Because these guys are idiots. They're displaying their lack of understanding. They're displaying their weakness. They were not perfect people. How many of you know that? They were not perfect people. But look at how Jesus responds to them with such mercy. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, you have no idea what you're even talking about. Very merciful. He didn't slap them. He didn't kick them. And so he says that. He says, you don't understand. You are weak. You don't get the whole picture. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. I love that it doesn't say you will go out witnessing. It says you'll be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and his power comes upon you, it's going to change who you are. And then he just lets the mic drop. And verse 9, He says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and he's out. Jesus was not worried, even in front of this massive display of weakness and ignorance, because he trusted the power of the Holy Spirit. He trusted the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you skip over to Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read it all, but the Holy Spirit is poured out. The day of Pentecost, there's a flame on every head. I love that. God has a flame for every head here. He has an anointing just for you. And these weak, somewhat ignorant, scared, insecure disciples who don't get it all, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. And Peter gets up and he begins to preach. And he begins to explain what is happening. And it says, then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. I'm sorry, I'm in Acts 2:14. He says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. I'm reading out of the ESV. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. So everyone was like, oh, these guys are wasted. That's what's going on. He's like, no. They're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. He says, no, this is Peter's explanation of what is happening. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. How many of you have kids here today? All right. I got my three sons. And kids normally are known for their immaturity and the crazy things they say. I love writing them down, the funny things my kids say. And here, Peter is quoting the prophet Joel saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, children who normally are known for their immature things that they say are actually going to be speaking what God is saying. They're going to begin prophesying. They're going to declare what God is doing. And he says, your old men will dream dreams. How many old men? Just kidding. Old men. Now, normally, the older you get, you tend to have big memories but smaller dreams. That's the normal way of life. Oh, I remember back in the day, you know, but small dreams. Not so when the Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, old men are going to dream dreams. Old men, wow, you're seeing things. Man, God is going to do this. Okay, what else does it say? It says, on my servants, sorry, I skipped one. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, which servants, that was the lowest level of society, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. This is Peter explaining what is happening. Now remember, the disciples, before this happens, they're closed-minded, they're ignorant, they're scared, we can't do it. I mean, the normal way of life back in those days, there was no high-speed trains, no vehicles, no airplanes. A person, wherever they were born, they usually stayed within about 30 miles, more or less, of the town that they were born in. And here Jesus gives them this ridiculous command to go into all the world. They're like, absolutely no way. How about you do it? And so their mindset is closed. A pastor, Steve Blackland, says this. It's a challenging quote. He says, the biggest problem in any city is not the demons and the sin and the powers and principality of hell. The biggest problem in any given city is the closed-mindedness of the church. Woo! All right? And so the disciples have this limiting mindset. We can't do it. We are scared. Why don't you do it, Jesus? And then when he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he speaks of prophecy, dreams, and visions. And I would submit to you one of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit is to get us out of a closed mindset and into the mind of God, into what seems impossible. I love it when people ask me in Spain, why are you here? Because the first thing they think is that I'm from England. And in Spain, they have a really negative attitude towards a lot of people from England. They call them giddies. I don't know what that means, but hope I didn't just cuss. But anyways, they're like, are you a giddy? I'm like, no, I'm from America. Oh, wonderful. That's great. And then the very next question they ask is, why on earth are you here? Because their dream is to go to the United States. Why are you here? In fact, I crack up because the only thing they know is New York City. Are you from New York City? No, I'm not. You know, okay, well, I didn't think anything else existed. I don't ever just say, well, I'm here as a missionary. No, I say, it's the craziest story. I got to tell you what happened. I was in Turkey, the country of Turkey. I went there to tell people about Jesus, tell Muslims about Jesus. And we had a time where we were praying. We were meeting with God. And as I was praying, I had a vision. It was like seeing a movie in my mind. And I saw this map of the Mediterranean and a big red arrow pointing to Spain. And actually the name of the city, Valencia, which I'd never been here before, or Valencia, as we say, the name of the city appeared to me, and God spoke to me and said, you and your family are going to move here. And if that wasn't cool enough, I had a friend who was praying next to me, and my friend started praying out and saying, hey, God is going to move you and your family to the mouth of the Mediterranean. You're going to plant a church in a city there. And they're like, that's messed up. They're like, that's crazy. I said, yeah. So we sold everything and moved here because God told us to. Like, you're an idiot. I'm like, no. That's what's awesome. We follow a God who speaks. He speaks through dreams, visions. That is the Holy Spirit. He takes us out of a limited mindset. Well, it won't work here. People don't want God here. I think of the modern parable where there's these two shoe salesmen that are sent out to impoverished nations. And one goes, and after a couple weeks, he sends a message back, and he says, hey, I got here. Absolutely nobody wears shoes. This is a complete waste of time. I'm going to go to a different country. The other guy writes back and says, hey, this is amazing. Nobody wears shoes. Send me everything you have because we are going to make a killing. You see the difference? It's all in our mindset. And the Holy Spirit, part of the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to get us out of a closed mindset, to get us out. When I first accepted Jesus, everything was different. And I grew up in church, but I did not know Jesus until I was 18 years old. And I could not believe. I mean, the grass was greener, the sky was bluer. During that time, I was about 18. I was working at a finance company as an intern. And I remember walking into the office one day, and it was as if all the lights went out. I looked over, and I saw this Hispanic girl, and this beam of light shone upon her, and I heard these angels singing, and it was Christy Valdez, who's now my wife, Christy Thomas, and I immediately fell in love. I mean, it was love at first sight for me. It was not for her. So it took a lot of years. She went to the same church, but worked with kids. I worked with the youth. And I would ask her to go do stuff. And every single time, she'd tell me no. In fact, one time, she actually told me that she had to clean the curtains with her mom. I'm like, you could have just said no. That would have hurt less, you know. And so she said she had a laser focus. She was called to be a single missionary to Latin America. And I'm like, that's of the devil. I know you're not supposed to be single. And so I had kind of given up. I was friends with her. And one night, I'm praying. I mean, again, everything was so new. I got rid of everything in my life. I wanted to be a film producer, film director. Gave that dream up. Followed Jesus. And I loved just spend time praying. And one night I'm praying. And I literally, as I'm praying, I've never had this happen since. I felt like hot oil being poured on my head. To the point I like opened my eyes like, is someone pranking me right now? Because I felt the heat on my head. And then I had this vision where I was in this stadium and I was preaching, and I knew it was in Latin America. And I saw all these people, and people were receiving Christ, and it was awesome. And so I go into work the next day and I tell Christy, I'm like, man, I had this crazy dream. No, let me back up. I didn't tell her. I get there, this is even better. I didn't change the story just to make it better. This is the truth. So I get there, and she's like, you're not going to believe I had the weirdest dream. I just had this vision the night before. She's like, I had a dream that we were in this big stadium somewhere in Latin America, and we were on the front row together, and then you got up and you were preaching. And so I immediately got down on one knee. Just kidding. I'm like, will you be my bride? She had the same dream. And so eventually God blinded her. We got married. And we ended up in Mexico, as you know. You guys supported us in Mexico. And I'm in this pastor's conference there. We were working with a little church, about 100 people out in Ciudad Neza, the roughest part of Mexico City. And during this pastor's conference, I had honestly forgotten about this. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he says, Ryan, in 1 year's time, you're going to see that vision become reality. I thought, okay, cool. The next day, the pastor calls me, Pastor Sala, good friend of mine, and he says, Ryan, God spoke to us that we're supposed to rent the Aztec Stadium. So tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, is going to be played in the Aztec Stadium. The 49ers and Cardinals are playing there. So that's the stadium. He's like, we're supposed to rent that stadium, but do an event that declares that Jesus is Lord of Mexico. I'm like, okay, sweet. So we go to the stadium. We're like, hey, how much does it cost to rent this place? And they tell us the price. The pastor falls out. No, he was like stunned. And so we thought that was a stupid idea. This obviously is not God. And we're walking out. I'll never forget, they had all these pictures of the different events there. And like the Pope is speaking in one picture, and then it's, you know, U2 in a concert. And then there was a picture of this event, and it wasn't really a concert, but it was full. We're like, hey, what's that? They said, oh, that's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have an event every year, and they pack it out, and a guy just talks for like 7 hours. And we got really mad. We're like, come on. If they can do it, how come we can't do it? So we said, okay, how much to like pay a down payment and just get a date, like from here for a year out? And so they tell us the price. We're like, okay. So we started selling tamales in the church. The whole church had diarrhea for like 2 months. We sold tons, thousands of tamales. And a couple of us sold cars. We got the down payment. And we had no idea what we were doing. We sent invitations to all the governors of the 37 states in Mexico. We sent an invitation to the president of Mexico. Again, we are like this dinky little church. We've never done anything like this before. Every single one of them replied to us. And every single one of them said no. Thank you for your invitation. Who in the world are you? Like, no, thank you. And so for about 6 months, I still thought we are the biggest idiots to ever walk the face of the earth. What are we doing? We invited different groups, different worship teams. All of them said no, like, we don't know who you are. And I can't remember what happened first, but long story short, we ended up actually having 16 governors of the states of Mexico, none of whom were believers, that came. And one of them ended up becoming the president of Mexico later. Then the president actually replied to us and said, I can't be there because of an emergency, but my wife will be there. So Margarita Calderon came. And we ended up having 45,000 people in that stadium. And it sounds wonderful. It was honestly a nightmare to be on the back behind the scenes because we didn't know what we were doing. We made mistakes. The last week was one of the most stressful weeks I've ever had in my life. My wife broke her ankle. One guy, our worship leader, his face got paralyzed, half the side of his face. To this day, his nickname is Rocky. Mexicans have a very dark sense of humor. So he is no longer paralyzed, but he still keeps the nickname. And we just had accidents and all this stuff. Then that night, Salatiel, my friend, is going to preach this evangelistic message. I probably haven't slept in 3 days. I honestly am not feeling the warm fuzzies. I'm like, I just want this event to be over. The company that owned the stadium was just horrible, and it was a nightmare. No one knew this on the front end. And so I go back there, and I was like, hey, you ready? You know, you're on in 5 minutes. And he looked really weird. And he's like, I'm not supposed to preach. I'm like, no, yep, you are. You know, be quiet, you're going up. And he's like, no, the Lord told me I'm not supposed. I'm like, shut up. Don't try to give me the God card. You're up. And he's holding his Bible, and he's like, no, God told me you're supposed to preach. And I'm like, do not even try that. Like, I have not prayed in like a week. Are you kidding me? Like, I need to get saved again after this whole mess. And he, like, without any reverence, he just chucks his Bible at me. And he's like, no, you're preaching. I grab his Bible, and he walks away. And I'm like, you know, it's not a small group. It's 45,000 people. And so I grab the Bible. I'm like, what? And I just pray this quick prayer, like, Lord, help me. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. And it was Darlene Check. You guys remember her from Hillsong? We had practiced with her to introduce him. And so she's like, Pastor Salatiel. And then it's me, this white guy. And the only thing, I didn't have time to prepare. I remember the only thing I prayed, it wasn't really a prayer. It was just a declaration. I was so frustrated with all the junk. And I just said, devil, I'm going to kick you in the teeth right now. And I went out there, and God just gave me a scripture. I just shared my testimony, really short, gave the invitation. We had thousands of people respond to accept Christ. And it wasn't until I got off the stage, I realized, oh my goodness, that was exactly what God showed me 11 years prior. 11 years prior. God is a God who takes us out of our limitations. You have to understand, 11 years prior, I could not even hold a microphone in front of anybody. That was like a joke. You're going to preach in a state. Are you kidding me? The worst class I ever had ever in high school was public speaking. And there was only like 5 kids in the class, and I would skip it at least half the time because I was terrified. God loves to take those who are not, to take those who are foolish and unwise and confound the wise. He wants to fill us with his Spirit and take us out of our limitations. So I want to ask you today, what are you dreaming about? What's the dream that God has for you? What's the vision? He wants to take us out of our limitations and into what he has. So I want to ask you to stand. I want to pray over you. Again, I apologize for my voice that is just failing me here. Now, here's what's awesome. There's a lot that's awesome, but I love this. You know, the Holy Spirit has already been poured out. Sometimes I think theologically we're a little off sometimes. Lord, pour out your Spirit. I think God's like, yeah, done, okay? Did that 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit is here. You've got the Father, okay, on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's coming back soon. The Holy Spirit is here. But he's waiting for us to open up our hearts. Well, I don't know about the Holy Spirit. That kind of weirds me out. Can I just tell you something? You believe in a resurrected dead guy who is both God and man. You are already weird. So just let's do away with the weird thing. The Holy Spirit's amazing. The Holy Spirit, I would not be here if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. And I believe he wants to get us out of our limited thinking and give you a dream and a vision. I really felt this morning during worship, some of you have had that dream, but you feel like that dream has died. And I feel like God wants to resurrect that. So I just want you to put your hands on your heart. I'm going to pray over you. The Holy Spirit's right there. He's closer than the breath that you breathe, the air that you breathe. He's here. He loves you. We don't have to beg him to come. He's already here. Just close your eyes right where you are. I just feel like I'm supposed to pray in Spanish. I feel more anointed in Spanish. Señor, gracias por tu poder. Ven, Espíritu Santo. Ven, Espíritu Santo. Espíritu de Dios. Espíritu de milagros. Espíritu de palabras de profecía y visiones y sueños. Desata tu poder sobre cada uno de las personas que están reunidos aquí, Señor. Rompe toda cadena, toda limitación que hemos puesto sobre ti. Se pudre en el nombre de Cristo. Lord, I just pray right now. Lord, you would just break off of us the limitations that we have placed on ourselves. I pray that you would give us dreams and visions and prophetic words. I pray that spiritual ears would be opened to hear what you're saying, that our spiritual eyes would be open to see what you want us to see. There is nothing impossible for you. Lord, forgive us for putting limitations where you have not put limitations. Thank you, God, that you are not hopeless about any situation. You are not hopeless about any circumstance. And I pray that faith would arise. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Put that flame on every single head. Put that flame on every single person. And I pray, Lord, that old men would begin to dream dreams, that young people would begin to prophesy. Lord, that young men and young women would have visions. Lord, in Jesus' name, it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, the Holy Spirit is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. Lord, in Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit upon us right now. Fill us in Jesus' name. Anoint us to get out of our mindset and into the mind of God. I pray that in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
We can do the video? You want to finish up with the video? Let's give it a shot.
Hi, I'm Christy Thomas. This is Ryan Thomas. And in the spring of 2019, we came to Valencia, Spain with our 3 boys and about 10 bags, our little dog, and really just a burden to see the gospel and the church expand here in Spain. God had prepared us years before, and we had read and we had studied about the statistics of it being less than 1% of professing Christians here in Spain. And when we arrived, although we thought we were prepared, I think what we discovered was even more shocking. And so during that time, we did the only thing that we knew how to do, and that was pray.
And we began to seek God's face, praying at night, meeting anyone that we could. And eventually God began to open doors, even as the pandemic was starting. And we saw a guy who was a graffiti artist come to Christ. He actually was water baptized. And then we started a Bible study in a park with several of his friends. And I remember one time with this group, literally several of them were smoking marijuana as we're doing a Bible study. And we talked about the prodigal son, and they literally had not even heard the story of the prodigal son. But God began to open groups. We had a group in the north part of the city, a group where we would meet in a dance studio. We obviously had to be flexible with the pandemic, but we've begun to see the faithfulness of God to plant a life-giving church, a church that would eventually send people throughout this region here in Valencia.
We also, one of the things that we discovered was how important it is to build bridges and find commonalities with people. And so one of the things that we discovered through prayer, through Bible, through scripture, we discovered that we all have had wounds. We've all experienced pain. And so one of the groups that we meet with really deals with that. And that's actually a really good tool that we've learned through evangelism, is talking to people about real things. Because we have a God who is a healer. And we want to introduce them not just to a God that can save them, but a God who heals them and wants them to be full of life and full of grace and full of freedom while they're here on earth.
And so we're excited about taking the next step. We've kind of seen the first fruits of our work here, but we are now going to be coming back and actually establishing a location where we can expand what we're doing and see the Church of Jesus Christ grow here in Valencia, Spain. And so pray with us. You can go and check out our prayer card. Go click on the QR code and you can check everything about us. Pray with us, partner with us to see God's kingdom established here in Spain. God bless you.